Radio Prague News. The Social Democrats have called on the ruling Civic Democratic Party to provide evidence for their allegations that the Social Democrats were involved in the wiretapping of politicians and journalists. Social Democrat chairman Jiří Paroubek has said he would reinstall Karel Randák in the post of Civil Intelligence Service Director if he were to become Prime Minister again. And a new poll suggests that support for the ruling Civic Democrats has risen after months of political stalemate which threatens to force an early election. The opposition Social Democrats have said they will convoke an extraordinary lower house session at which the Civic Democrats should provide evidence for their statements that the Social Democrats and their leader Jiří Paroubek are connected with police wiretapping of politicians and journalists. Mr. Paroubek said on Thursday that unless the Civic Democrat leaders submit evidence, they should resign. The Civic Democrats suspect the previous government of Prime Minister Paroubek of abusing wiretappings to spy on political opponents and inconvenient journalists. Interior Minister Ivan Langer said on Wednesday that about 20 constitutional officials and journalists were wiretapped as part of the investigation into the leak of a police report by a senior officer just before the June election. Social Democrat chairman Jiří Paroubek said on Thursday that he would reinstall Karel Randák in the post of Civil Intelligence Service Director, from which he was dismissed by the Civic Democrat government on Wednesday, if he was to become Prime Minister again. The Civic Democrat minority government replaced Mr. Randák with the Director of the Civil Counterintelligence Service, BIS, Jiří Lang, and said that the reason for Mr. Randák's dismissal was the planned merger of the two services. Government ministers are preparing to propose a plan for the revamped intelligence service by the end of October. A poll released on Thursday suggests that support for the ruling right-wing Civic Democrats has risen after months of a political stalemate which threatens to force an early election. The survey by the STEM agency predicted a centre-right bloc led by the Civic Democrats would win 109 seats in the lower house of parliament against 91 seats for the combined leftist Social Democrats and the far-left Communists. The poll confirmed some other public opinion research in the past months that showed a rise in popularity for the party, which formed a minority cabinet earlier this month, but seems set to lose a confidence vote in early October. A record 204 candidates are running for the 27 seats up for grabs in the upper house of the Czech parliament, the Senate. The Czech Statistical Office, which released the figure on Thursday, says their average age is just below 54 and there are 40 women among the candidates, which is the largest proportion so far. The first round of the election will take place on October the 20th and 21st. The struggling state-controlled Czech Airlines is asking its main shareholder, the finance ministry, for a cash injection of about 2 billion crowns, company president Radomír Lašák Thursday denying speculation that Czech Airlines is on the verge of bankruptcy. According to Transport Minister Aleš Řebíček, the government will now examine whether such a step would be possible without EU consent. The insurance company Česká pojišťovna has expressed interest in a recapitalization of Czech Airlines on condition that it can exert some influence on the carrier, spokesman Václav Bálek said on Thursday. The airline lost 800 million crowns in the first half of the year. And finally, a glance at the weather. The next couple of days should be sunny to partly cloudy with daytime highs of 23 to 26 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague and I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up, with all the environment protection measures being undertaken, why has air pollution in the Czech Republic got worse? Czech medicine celebrates 40 years since the first successful organ transplant. Czechs from around the world exchange ideas in Prague and we visit a skydiving centre in Příbram. Don't go away. It improves improved dramatically after the fall of communism. So why is the quality of the air suddenly getting worse? A new study carried out by the Environment Ministry's Department of Air Protection suggests that in 2005, around two-thirds of the Czech population lived in areas with serious air pollution, opposed to just a third in the previous year. Rob Cameron has been following that story and joins me now in the studio. Rob, this rise seems almost unbelievable.
Well, Daniela, it is incredible. It's hard to believe. Even the director of the department which carried out this study, Jan Kuzel, said he was deeply shocked when he saw these new figures. It should be pointed out that stricter regulations are partly to blame, but that's only part of the story. Air quality really has deteriorated in many areas of the Czech Republic.
Right, but improving air quality was considered to be one of the greatest achievements of the post-communist era, or so they told us. I can remember the smokestack factories belching out poisonous fumes before 1989, but you don't really get to see much of that nowadays. So what has gone wrong?
Well, certainly stricter regulations on industrial emissions such as sulfur and nitrogen did play a major role in improving the air quality across post-communist Central Eastern Europe, the Czech Republic included. But what's happening now is that with rising gas and electricity prices, people are turning increasingly to cheaper, less environmentally friendly methods of heating their homes. So they're going back to burning coal. Some of them are even burning rubbish. And that's releasing a huge number of dust particles into the air. And that's happening across the country, not only in big industrial cities.
Oh, what about cars? Because for some time it seemed to be exhaust fumes from cars that were partly to blame. Is that still the case?
Obviously there's been a huge rise in car ownership since 1989, and of course that's had an influence on the air. But car pollution, according to these figures at least, is still only in second place after dust.
Right, so we're breathing in a lot more dust. What sort of problems can this dust cause?
Some very serious problems. Some of these dust particles are carcinogenic, so people are far more at risk from various cancers, especially lung cancer, because microscopic particles enter the lungs very easily. But air pollution also causes other problems, such as asthma, and women giving birth to underweight babies, which causes more health problems later on in life. So the situation really is quite serious.
But surely, as an EU member state, the Czech Republic has to meet certain norms for air quality. Is it failing to meet those norms?
Yes, it is. And it failed to do so last year and will most probably fail to do so this year as well. The EU's strict regulations say the daily limit for microscopic dust particles must not be exceeded more than 35 times a year. And around half the locations measured by the ministry, the limit had already been exceeded 67 times this year. And in industrial areas of, say, Northern Moravia, the limit has already been exceeded well over 100 times.
Rob Cameron, thank you for that. Bad as the news is. As 24-year-old Karel Pavlík began losing consciousness on the operating table, he knew that his chances of survival were slim. Several previous attempts at a kidney transplant had failed, and Karel did not expect to become Czechoslovakia's first successful transplant patient. 40 years have passed since Czech surgeons conducted that historic organ transplant, and things have come on hugely since then. Today, the country's transplant program is comparable to those of the United States and Western Europe in terms of quality, quantity, and survival rate. And as transplant specialist Dr. Stefan Vítko tells Dieter Asiedu, the Czech Republic is actually ahead when it comes to waiting time.
Average waiting time for kidney transplantation is less than 12 months. There are people who are waiting, let's say, few weeks. Waiting time for transplantation is related to biological things between donor and recipients. It's a kind of lottery, you know.
What about donors? Are the Czech nation a nation of donors?
You know, organ donation or deceased organ donation depends mostly on organization of the donation and law. And both things are quite well developed in the country. There is a network of donation hospital, donor hospital in the country, and we are working with them very closely on daily basis, I would say. And second thing, there is a presumed consent in the country, so both things are quite favorable for transplantation.
Now, the first transplant was done 40 years ago.
Yes.
How has that kind of a transplant changed since then?
Enormously. First of all, 1 year graft survival in that time was about 20%. And now it's more than 95%. And the main achievement is in immunosuppressive treatment. So we use very different immunosuppressants, which are more safe and more powerful, more effective.
What important organs are not transplanted yet?
Small bowel. So we are now in the stage of experiments, animal experiments, to prepare the small bowel transplantation, I hope, next year.
Now, a very interesting thing is that China has said that it's just done its first transplant of the male penis.
You know, we are transplanting organs which you need for life. So you need not for life penis. So we are not dealing with this kind of transplants.
And Dieter Siedu was speaking there to Dr. Stefan Witko. And if you're interested in hearing more, tune in to next week's Talking Point when Dieter looks into the topic of organ transplants more closely and also talks to the longest living Czech with a donated kidney. Around 200 Czechs from around the world are currently meeting in Prague at the Týden zahraničních Čechů, Week of Czechs Living Abroad, which is taking place at Prague's Charles University. The event, which was first held in 1998, provides a unique forum for Czechs abroad to discuss everything from their position as minorities in European Union states to the Czech language publications they produce. On Wednesday, Ian Willoughby discussed the meeting with one of its delegates, Dr. Mila Šašková-Pierce from the University of Nebraska.
It is organized to allow people who are the movers and shakers in Czech communities around the world to learn about resources that are prepared for them by the Czech Republic, but also to be able to exchange their experiences, way to solve problems, perhaps even to share resources and especially share ideas.
And what are you yourself doing here?
Well, I came to present a little description of the Czech newsletter that students of the Czech language in Nebraska are publishing, and which actually is the bridge between the generations of former students and the students who are just now studying at the university. But outside of that, of course, I also came to learn about other problems, other activities of other groups of Czechs living abroad.
Today the main theme is media in general. What other subjects are being discussed here this week?
So far we have discussed about financial problems, about contacts, about support from the Czech Republic, about resources on the internet. So far we were mainly talking about give me, give me, give me. And we will now talk about next half of the week, we will talk about what we can offer.
What do you think is the value of meetings like this?
Oh, the value is just incalculable. First of all, you never know what you will find out. I had my preconceived notions, you know, what I could expect and what I couldn't expect. And then when I talked with people of all places, Bulgaria, Serbia, I realize that they have quite a bit of smart ideas to offer. Without their presence, without my presence, I wouldn't have known about it. I would have never thought about it.
Are there any similar events like this that take place around the world?
Yes, there are other organizations like the SVU, the Společnost pro vědy a umění, the Society for Arts and Sciences, which is a world organization. But to say the truth, that organization is heavily American, Canadian, and West European. Here we have a chance to talk with people from Egypt, people from Syria, people where we even didn't know they existed. That there is a Czech organization in Egypt.
That was Dr. Mila Šašková-Pierce from the University of Nebraska, who is here in Prague for the Week of Czechs Living Abroad. And a full list of events can be found at the website www.krajane.net, which is run by Radio Prague. Now, from Czech expats living around the world, we turn to the problems of foreign migrants here in the Czech Republic. In the past decade, the Czech Republic has become the destination country of many asylum seekers and foreign migrants. But after 40 years of closed borders, the authorities are still learning how to help integrate foreigners in Czech society and how to overcome a latent xenophobia among Czechs, many of whom are still wary of foreign neighbours. A play called Divný soused, Our Strange Neighbor, which is produced by Archa Theatre, premiered in the unusual venue of a Prague office complex on Wednesday. The play aims to break down existing barriers. Its cast is part professional and part amateur, with Czech actors playing the Czechs and foreign migrants playing themselves. The play's director, Jana Svobodová, says she wanted to tell the life stories of some foreign migrants, the suffering they went through in their home country, and their dreams of making the Czech Republic their new home. The play features an Armenian dancer whose dream is to have a beauty salon in Prague, a Chechen girl called Marina who fled her homeland and who discovered that she has a talent for acting here in the Czech capital, and a Burmese man called Kupi who fled from his homeland in order to escape persecution just 3 months before his baby daughter was born. The play reveals the state of mind of each of these characters, who are all in their vicinity perceived by Czechs as a funny neighbour. Asked what she most desires, one migrant says, "I'd like to be perceived as a normal person, a normal neighbour, and to make friends." The play, which is on at the Danube House building in Prague's Karlín, is financed by government funds and is part of its anti-racism campaign. A reminder for any latecomers to the programme that you are tuned to Radio Prague and it's coming your way from the Czech capital here in Central Europe. For this week's edition of Panorama, Patrick Ryan heads south of Prague for a well-known skydiving centre in Příbram.
South of Prague, near the town of Příbram, is a decommissioned military airstrip just off the highway. Before you see any sign of the airport, you see the sky above filled with parachutes gently falling towards the earth. Welcome to the Příbram drop zone. The man in command of this place is checking the flight manifest, or passenger list, and scanning the skies with a high-tech pair of binoculars. Hello, what is your name?
My name is Rudolf.
And what is your job here?
My job? I'm a director of the airport, so... And now, today, I am responsible for all jumps.
And how many people will jump today?
It's two kind of people. We have passenger for the tandem jumps and then a certified jumper. So the certified jumpers we have now about today 20, 25 and about 80, maybe 85 tandem passengers.
And how many flights will take off today?
Hopefully 18, 20. I don't know, not yet.
Is today a busy day?
It's a normal day. As usual.
Are you a skydiver yourself?
Yes, of course.
How many jumps have you made?
I did 1,700. It's not enough.
And you still enjoy it?
Yeah, of course. I enjoy it.
Rudolf Sirhak shows me around the airfield where his company Sky Service is based. He says skydiving requires an orchestrated effort from many people. He lists the various members of his team.
If we are open, I need at least five people and as an employee. So today I think five packers, six tandem masters and five video flyers. So plus manifest, two people, one mechanic, two crews of the planes and myself.
And how high do the skydivers go when they jump out of the plane?
In metric, it's 4,000 meters, so it means 13,500 feet.
And at what altitude do they open their parachutes?
Usually about 1,000 meters, it's about 3,000 feet. Depends on the category, how experienced they are, and so on.
As people rush by with video equipment and unfurled parachute canopies bundled in their arms, others wait around nervously kicking the dirt. I find a tired-looking man named Herbert leaning against a rack of packed parachutes. He is wearing a jumpsuit rolled down to his waist and a t-shirt that reads Tandem Pilot across the chest.
I am Tandem Pilot here, jumping with people from 4,000 meters.
How many jumps have you made today?
Today I made 8, and we have 4 more, maybe.
What type of parachute do you use during a tandem jump?
It's Sigma. It's American type. It's made in America, USA.
Is it smaller or larger than a typical parachute?
It's a little bit larger because it's for 2 people. It must be twice larger than normal parachutes.
What's the largest person you've jumped with?
Wow, it's 200 centimeters and 125 kilograms, I think, yeah, if I remember, yeah.
Did it change the way you were diving?
No, the same, but it's a little bit faster. It's like 250 kilometers per hour. It's big people.
All around the drop zone, people are waiting on benches or at tables. Some sit stoically while others give nervous smiles and joke quietly. The harnesses that connect tandem passengers to their jump masters give them away as first-timers. Hi there, what's your name?
My name is Jakub.
And are you going to jump out of an airplane today?
Yeah, I'm going to jump.
Is this your first jump?
Yeah, it is.
And are you afraid at all?
Yeah, just a bit, but we are the whole family here, so my relatives have already jumped before, so I know that it's okay. So,
were they scared when they jumped?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
How did they feel after the jump?
Perfect. They said that it was absolutely gorgeous, absolutely perfect. So, yeah, as I said, I'm really excited.
5 minutes call for Turbolet load number 14.
As Jakub is called for his jump, there's a lot of activity in one of the nearby buildings, which features a wall of video equipment and computers. People come and go in a hurry, feeding images into machines, and then running off with DVDs in hand. Herbert explains what's going on.
This is our video man, faithful cameraman. They make a video for tandems customers, from four-way teams, or for everyone who wants some video from freefall.
Do they have the camera mounted somehow?
Yeah, they have special helmets for it. And on the helmets they have a video camera and stills camera, and they have special switch and they can take picture during the freefall. They have very good skills in the skydiving. It's one of the best skydivers on this drop zone.
Across the room from the wall of video is an open space with brightly colored equipment spread across the floor. Stretching across the room in parallel lines are the central pieces of equipment here in the drop zone, the parachutes themselves.
They are packing parachute for us here. So this is our packers. It's most important people in this drop zone.
Do they have some sort of education how to pack a parachute?
Yeah, they have special license for packing. They pack parachute for students, for tandem masters, and sometimes for sportsmen.
How long does it take to pack a parachute?
It depends. Normal parachute takes 5 to 10 minutes. Tandem parachutes take around 15 minutes to 20 minutes. It depends on skills.
And how many parachutes will each one of these people pack today?
I'm not sure. I mean 30 to 50 per one day, because we are busy today.
How do they pack a parachute?
How? Okay, they must pack the canopy. It must be same way every time. After it, they put canopy into container. After it, they must make care about the lines. And after they pack container into the harness, and they close the harness. That's all. It's very easy.
And that edition of Panorama with Patrick Ryan has brought us to the end of today's broadcast. I'd just like to bring to your attention the fact that you can access all of Radio Prague's programs in text and sound at the following address, www.radio.cz. You'll find all of Radio Prague's programs, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic, so do check it out when you can find the time. Also, if you'd like to write to us, to contact us with questions or suggestions, then please do so at english@radio.cz. It's an easy address to remember, english@radio.cz. We'll be looking forward to your mail. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.
Koupil jsem za babku letenku do ráje. Trochu jsem přemýšlel, zda vůbec pravá je. Bylo 11:45, gól přišel právě včas. Z tlampače nad námi ozval se klidný hlas. Letadlo do ráje odlétá. Dostal jsem instrukce, padák a espresso. Hrály se karty a šlo eso na eso. Všichni se snažili, aby nám utek čas. Z lampače nad námi ozval se klidný hlas. Letadlo do ráje přilétá. Ani nevím sám, jak dlouho jsem tam byl. A je marné to líčit, stejně bys nevěřil.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept, Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.